him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Sit here on this earth for us, Lord, to enjoy and to be able to take and do the work that you have prepared for us to do. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have to join in fellowship with friends and family. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to be able to carry your word. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with the people all over this country that are battling such hatred and anger toward each other. Dear Heavenly Father, all over this world, that you can help us all to be able to control and to be able to get along and love one another as you have set forth. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have spent here. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the strength and guidance to be able to continue on. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing together 589.
To Christ be loyal and be true, his banner be unfurled, and borne aloft till it secure the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will live with you and help you.
Sing that before the lesson tonight.
196.
I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is dear him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he had built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is dear him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Mark 593, and that'll be the song after the sermon tonight. In 2 Peter, we realize that the Lord is going to come someday, and Simon Peter here is writing to the brethren about the coming of the Lord and a day that they do not anticipate. And as a result of that, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we read the following. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly or ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the water standing out of the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking forward and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And the account and count the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Also, he said, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, but they which are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You will note that in these particular passages that Simon Peter gives a rather description of those who are not prepared for the Lord's return. He says it will be announced with a loud sound from heavens, and that it will be the case that from the heavens there will come a great fire that will burn up all the works of the earth and the things that are therein. When we keep in mind these particular things about the Lord's coming again, we keep in mind that he saved this to people, wanting them to remain, as he says in verse 17, steadfast. Don't fall from your own steadfastness. We've had a number of folks in our families that have fallen from their steadfastness in years gone by. Even right here at Crockett, we've had that happen. Why did that take place? Some of them have used the excuse to say, my mom and dad were mean-spirited to me. They were rough on me, and therefore I'm not what I ought to be because of that. Is that really the reason? I don't believe it is, but nevertheless, that criticism is awful. That's why I offer to you the teaching of the Word of God about how to talk with people, how to use questions as our Lord Jesus did. Notice that as the Jewish people challenged him, why do you teach such things as this? Why do you cast out of the temple those who are making money and so forth and so on? And Jesus said, I'll tell you if you will tell me this. John's baptism. Whence was it? Was it from heaven? Or was it of men? Notice the question form that he used. These were rough spirited folks. They want to know right now. Tell us right now. Why do you do this in this matter of worship? Jesus said, I'll tell you. First, if you will tell me this, let me ask you a question. Whence was John's baptism? Now, he knew that they held John to be a prophet of God, and they held him, his word, to be so real and so good. They wanted to be people who did not trust anybody who didn't trust John. But did they practice what John said? Jesus said, listen, when John preached to you baptism, was it from heaven or was it of men? They said, wait just a minute. They got off in the corner, as it were, and they discussed one with another. One of them said, you know, if we say that John preach baptism from heaven, he'll ask us this following question. Why didn't we submit to it? And you know we didn't submit to it. They didn't give themselves over to the teaching of John. But if we say it's of men, they didn't say this, but they knew within themselves. They had trained the people to be so vindictive of anybody who didn't say John was a prophet. They would have been jumped on by the public. And that's what they said. If we say that he's of men, then we'll say John was of man. He wasn't from God. every one of us. They turned back to Jesus and they said, we cannot answer that question if you ask us. And Jesus said, neither do I answer your question. For Jesus well knew that the answer to the question that he asked them was the answer to their own question about him. Why do you have this authority? Who gave you this authority? The Heavenly Father gave you this authority. This is his word that I'm teaching. This is his way of life to live. And this is not what's being lived here at this temple. That's why I cast them out. And Jesus knew well that that would be the case. With their understanding about this, if they had submitted to John, they would have submitted to him. For they perceived that John came from the Heavenly Father, and he certainly came from the Heavenly Father. When we talk about these things, we're talking about things that are right and good, and we're talking about things that are true. And Jesus himself met those particular days and times. Will we be prepared for the day in which the Lord comes? Listen to it here. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking in their own lust. Their lust of the flesh. Described by John in 1 John 2 is the reference. All things that are in the world. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride or vainglory of life. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. They're not of what? The Father. But they're of the world. And he that doeth these things will not have the blessing from the Heavenly Father. What do we have here? We have the scoffers that come in the latter time, saying, where's the promise of his coming? He promised to come. We understood that. But where is he now? He hasn't come back since our fathers died. He's not returned. All these generations of time, he's not returned. But he promised he would. He said that he would. His promise, do we believe it? Do we accept it? That he could come at any moment, any hour? And he says here what will take place. If we're willingly ignorant of the word of God, and we defy the power of God, who made heavens and earth, and who set them up, and who by the same word, he said, by the same word, notice verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. The same teaching of God about that flood coming in the days of Noah, and it came. And spared the people who were in that ark, where God told Noah to get, and that's where he's standing. Now then, in our day and time, that same word holds in store the fire that he said will come. And burn up these things. I remember Brother David Light preaching in Baseball One Gospel meeting, and he stopped at the preacher point in his sermon. He looked down to see Brother W.L. Locke. He and Brother Light loved old cars. They loved to get old cars, and they loved to take the wax off of the old car and the old kind of dull look and everything, and they looked forward to repainting. And I had been out there sometimes, and I said, how many coats are on that car now? One of them would say seven, and the other said, I think it's more like nine coats on this car now. And they would argue with one another about how many coats have been put on that car since they started out with that thing. And boy, they made them shine. What you talking about? They made them shine. They'd take them places, and they'd park them up, and people would come by, and they had little cards on them that said, do not touch, please do not touch. They didn't want anybody's hand to emit some oils that are always on our hands on that paint. They want people to look and watch it and all about it, and they would. But that was it. And so he said, Brother Locke, But Lot sitting back where Miss Tang is right there now. He said, W.L., I don't know if I stand what the Lord said here. All these things are going to be burned up. That paint is going to come off those cars just like it never was there. That paint is going to be going up in the air just like God wants it to be. I got to believe that that's that promise of the Lord. It's not going to be around here forever and ever. But you and I are going to be somewhere where God wants us to be forever and forever and forever. To you and me tonight, this is the idea. But the heavens are now, by the same word, are kept in store. God's promise was carried out in that day and time. We're reserved under fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And men count slackness this way. They count slackness in regard to these years that come and go, and that God's promise is not any good. That if these years are coming and going by, God's promise is not true. It's not going to happen that way. And the Lord, he says in verse 9, is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We who are teaching the Word of God, we who are living faithfully the Word of God from day to day, we from time to time run into somebody who asks us a question. We'll invite that person to come and be with us, bring their Bible and enjoy the studies of the Word of God from the Scripture. And we'll invite them to come and be a part of that, and that may lead to their salvation. And that's what the Lord wants. That's why He delayed. He delayed that it leads to salvation of souls. There are people that I've known who are glad that that has taken place because they took a long time to make up a decision that they would follow the Lord and obey the Lord. As we have that opportunity to talk with others of our family, others of our friends and neighbors, we have that opportunity. But He has long-suffered us, not willing that any should perish. Now, if He had said, not willing that any others should perish, He would have been saying something in regard to those people themselves. But He's saying, not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that you that work with others should perish. And He's not willing that others that you will be working with in the future will not perish. He cares about all. He wants all to be restored. He wants all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, He says, as a thief in the night. We all have had something to be stolen from our homes and abodes. Whether it's a bicycle that the officers found later on and brought back and restored it to the ports that it was taken from, or whatever it may have been that was stolen. It was not announced, hey, I'm coming over there and I'm going to take that. I like that picture, I like that shovel, I like that car, I like that person. I'm going to come over there and take that. For if we knew that the thief was coming, what did Jesus say about that? Would man prepare for him? Would he have his shotgun ready? Would he be out there in the corner watching for him? Would he be there prepared for that person to come and steal him? And warn him ahead of time with a shot up in the air? And you don't do this now if you don't take this from me. Or would we be people who just says, he doesn't mean what he says. He just wants to steal from me. Some of us go about thinking they'll never steal from me. They'll never come like that. But he said this plainly about the coming of Jesus. He will come as a thief in the night. And he says that that night the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The word for great in this particular passage, let me read it here in this regard to you. It's the word rumbling sound, a swish, illustrating the length and the suddenness of the renovation. It's the word for rezendo, R-H-O-I-Z-E-D-O-N, rezendo. It will be a rushing sound. It will leave us. And he says, this will happen. Shall melt. With the heavens will be with a great noise, and the elements of the earth will pass away with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned. Nice vision. It served us well through the years. This is not the only building that's ever been on this particular area. That was another one. I believe I came up from Rural to reach the gospel meeting up this way. I believe a couple of guys from this congregation were going down to Cleveland one day, and down 61 Highway they went to get some seed or get some fertilizer or something from a store that was well noted down there to offer that kind of thing for reasonable prices. And they heard me on radio early in the morning. I was on three stations down there in the Delta when we worked at Rural. 10 years at Rural that we were working there at that time. The brethren thought well enough about the preaching that I was doing that they wanted me to be on each one of the stations. I was on two over in Cleveland. One was a country music station. The other was a rock and roll station. There was WBLE and there was WCDL over that way. And then there was a station that was at Drew, Mississippi, which was just 8 miles north of Rural. And there it was that these three had that particular program that I had on. I would go personally and do the program up there in Drew. It would be recorded. And I would go personally over to Cleveland, which was 10 miles away, and I would do that program. And one morning, they were traveling to that place of the co-op. And I believe they heard me on the radio. And one said to the other, hey, let's get him to come up and do a gospel meeting for us to cry. And they called and got my number and found me. And I remember when driving up, I was driving up on highway number 3, 49 bridge into 3. And 3, I came on up and I said, look at here. From 49, a 49 there, but here's the third. I rode on number 3 and then I got on number 4 and I came on over. And I was crocked before I turned around twice. I was there. Here I am. And as I remember the meeting that was conducted, it was conducted with windows up in the old building. And I remember that people were backed up in the automobile, backed up in the trucks, and people were sitting in the back of the truck. There were many people in the auditorium. That was a grand occasion for me, first experience I had. Now, many years went by before I ever came back for another gospel meeting. But nevertheless, I came for several gospel meetings back. During the years we came up from Rural, moved up to Batesville. And during that 35-year time, I had opportunity to come back several times. But here's the idea of this. It is the concept that we would preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. And the idea of seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? What manner of person do I need to teach people to be? I need to teach people to be holy in their conversation, their manner of life. That word conversation, not just in their talk, but in the way that they live their lives from day to day. Don't be thieves, don't be killers, don't be murderers of others. Don't be a person who takes advantage of others. Don't be a person who's anything other than what Paul wrote to Timothy about. The servant of the Lord must not be divisive, but gentle to all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. That's what we're supposed to do as we live in the world in which we live, among people around us. Let's be kind to them, kind-spirited to them, kind talking to them, suggesting for them, open a Bible to this particular passage or that particular passage, and they'll have an answer to their question there. That's what I had to do for myself. And that's what others need to do to be sure that they're committed to the Lord and His way. That's the idea here. Holy manner of life and godliness. They're to be like God wants them to be. Not what I want them to be. Not what others of the brotherhood want them to be. Not what just about everybody in the neighborhood wants them to be. But I want to be what the Lord would have us to be. Live that way. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. And he repeats once again what he said back up in verses 7, 8, and 9. Hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we look for a new place, a new home. It's described here as a new heavens and a new earth, as Isaiah has said long ago, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What would happen in our world on earth in which we live if there was something of righteousness that was dwelling in every household? We know divorce. We know problematic children. There'd be no problematic husbands and wives. There'd be no neighbors that hate to see us coming across the fence. If we had righteousness to rule in everything about us, we'd be doing the right thing. We'd see somebody coming that's helping us do right. Not just criticizing us, but coming to help us do what's right. Righteousness would be the way of life that we would see everybody do. Well, in this new heavens and new earth, there dwelleth righteousness. Look up that word righteous, who dwelling there. Look up that word. And he says there it will be an inhabited place. It's a place wherein there's inhabited right doing. Righteousness will be doing all the time. We don't live in that world. We live in a world where we turn on a television set and say, let's go to a movie theater. That we see previews of something that's rough and ugly and mean-spirited, even if the movie itself is a G-rated and nice presentation. But if we turn the television on just any particular channel, there's no telling what we may see first there. There'll be a worldly, very worldly way to watch. It's not a righteous thing. What a blessing it is to be with you tonight and to enjoy this study with you as we talk about these things in the Lord, because that's the Lord's promise for you and for me. As we do this, we have the idea of offering an invitation for you and me to follow the way of the Lord. And so Let's see, what's my number there?
593.
593. I believe my page is just right here. Yes. Let's sing together as we stand. To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew. Let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. Sing with me.
Brother Robert,
yeah.
JL might need to touch
a
little
supper. Is JL to be
JL's here.
Yes, that's
you can't see him from me.
Then he's for it. Yeah. Let's be seated then. Brother JL will take the little supper now.
Things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.